I'm just giving my audience something that no one else is telling them. And I'm standing up for you to be brave, to be discovered, to stop being the best kept secret, whatever that thing is that my marketing is saying. But what it's really about is finding that fascinating piece of you, because everybody has it, being able to alleviate your fear so that you can show everybody that you have the charisma to be fascinating. I think that's a big difference.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. Today, we have something very, very special to share with you. If you've ever heard me speak, you know that I frequently say visibility is currency. Visibility is money in your pocket. It's money in your bank account. You can't be invisible and discoverable at the same time. And so today we have a very special guest to share with you. Her name is Beth Nydick. She is the founder of the Fame Formula, and she supports digital business owners in creating consistent media for their brands and monetizing all of that great exposure. Plus, Beth knows a thing or two about getting in the spotlight because, let's face it, who doesn't want visibility for their brand? Beth and her clients have been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Inc., Good Morning America, The Drew Barrymore Show, Fast Company, Oprah, and more. Oh my God, like I want all of those outlets, every single one of them. She is also the co-author of the top-rated cookbook, Clean Cocktails. Oh my God, that's fantastic. I love that. I love clean cocktails. I'm a self-taught mixologist. So Beth Nydick, welcome to Life After Corporate.
Oh, Deb, thank you so much. It's so funny to listen to somebody else talk about something or read something you've written about yourself.
Yeah.
but I wholeheartedly believe, like, I spent years being invisible and thinking I was doing all the work. And I think a lot of our listeners are probably thinking the same thing. Until you can really, I say, step into the spotlight and let people know you, see you, and know how they can interact with you to improve their lives.
Absolutely. Sometimes people think hiring a social media expert or social media agency is visibility, and it's not.
No.
So Beth is going to unpack that for you here today in this conversation. So Beth, as we do with all of our guests, before we get started, do share, what is your Life After Corporate story? What were you doing before you founded The Fame Formula?
The Fame Formula. I was a TV producer. For my first job out of school, I interned at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno in LA. I did movies out there. I worked on the Brady Bunch movie for a little bit. There was a movie called Empire Records that if you were in high school in the 80s and 90s, you probably remember. And I really loved it. But the 16-hour days, the commuting back and forth. When I was pregnant with a 10-pound baby, I really couldn't do it anymore.
Oh my God.
It was really too much. But I have to tell you that my life started when I stepped onto a TV set. I knew I was in the right place.
That's so interesting. And what I love about this story is that for many of us, our corporate jobs were gifts in our entrepreneurial journey. Like, without that gift of the long days, the long commutes, the heavy load, like, we wouldn't have earned our chops as right, as business owners. So you really got your expertise from being there on the front lines. And that's so super cool. So what was the decision? Was it just being pregnant and having a child, raising a family that led you to leave corporate? Or was there something else?
Actually, my show had gotten canceled like 2 months before. And I was like, I can continue working here. I got another position. And I was like, I think I want to be home. You know, I was in TV for a while. And as you were talking, I had this image in my head. I remember being on the corner in New York City. I want to say it was like 47th and maybe 5th or 6th, because I was promoting a new show and I had a camera guy with me and we were doing interviews on the street. Like, that's the kind of stuff I was doing. I was in and out of the studio. a camera on my back, going to like a wedding store to get B-roll. It was so much fun. It was so exciting until it physically wasn't.
Yeah.
And I actually, my parents run high-end travel business, and they had acquired me, as my dad would say, to help them write a travel book for their business while I was pregnant, because my dad honestly was like, I don't want you on the train. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just, he didn't say it. I remember hearing him say it one night to my mom, but he was like, she's just too big to be on the train. Because I know you can't tell it. I'm only 5'1". I'm a littler person.
Oh my gosh. And a 10-pound baby. I mean, I'm 5'9", and I had a 10-pound baby, but that's a different story. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. He's 6 foot now. But I went full force into being a mom and using that creativity to like build relationships and build networks. If I had known what I know now, I had actually started, it called it the Women Savvy Business Club. And I had gotten my friends together who either were entrepreneurs or had their own business and started doing that when my kids were really little. I honestly, back then, I didn't realize that that was a business. Mm-hmm. And also social media wasn't then what it is now.
Right, right. So what led you to Fame Formula? So you were raising kids, you jumped off the fast track, you got off the subway.
I did. I got off the train. You know, when my kids went to school, and I tried to be a lady who lunched, and it did not work out well for me. I lasted a few months, and I was like, I need to do something with my life. It just wasn't enough creativity for me. It wasn't enough outlets for me. So I was like, okay, what can I do from home between 9 and 3? And I literally started teaching women how to make roast chicken.
My goodness. Like, I mean, Julia Child. That's how she started.
I was like, you know, what can I teach women that I already know? And I'm a good cook. Well, I think I'm a good cook. I'm a good cook. So I was teaching women how to do that. And as my kids got older, my son's gluten-free. So I started teaching women how to make gluten-free muffins and gluten-free food. Again, my kids are 20. So this was before you could find almond flour in the supermarket. So I was literally teaching women how to like soak cashews, because my mom was a little bit of a hippie. So I grew up with making your own stuff. And then in 2007, I started really understanding what business was like. My parents are actually entrepreneurs. And I started understanding, oh, I have an email list. I'm growing a community. I didn't know it was an audience back then. And I parlayed that into TV, because I knew what TV could do for a brand. I still had friends that worked in TV. I pulled out my old school Rolodex and started calling the numbers, even though it wasn't people I knew. I knew it was a numbered NBC. I knew it was a number at a show. And I got myself onto the Dr. Oz show. I got myself a partnership with Vitamix and a Chew. They actually came to the house and did a 2-day shoot.
Wow.
With me and Daphne Oz. And then I leveraged that into a book deal, as you said before, my Clean Cocktails, Righteous Recipes for the Modern Mixologist. And then I got a traditional book deal, promoted that until the pandemic, and then in which I was speaking all over the country about asking for what you want and creating something out of a passion or creating something out of an idea. And meanwhile, I'm like, okay, now I have this book. And as probably a lot of your listeners know, the publishing company doesn't really help you that much. You have to help yourself. There's no more like book tours.
Wow.
You have to create your own book tour. And again, I head down. I called people I knew. I was not afraid to call the main number at NBC and be like, hi, can I talk to a producer at the Dr. Oz show? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I did, because again, there wasn't this readily available. I couldn't DM somebody who was a producer on the show. And then I started realizing what I could do for my business by helping other friends of mine. I was in the library one Sunday afternoon with a friend of mine, and she's like, she literally says to me, oh my God, you helped me so much more in the last 2 hours than my 20 grand business coach. I was like, what's a 20 grand business coach?
Yeah. Well, I want to pause here, Beth, because you're just exuding so much brilliance.
No.
That was just innate inside of you, that you weren't shy. You were from inside the TV world, so you knew how it works. So you were an insider. So these people don't intimidate you. So for all the people who are listening and saying, oh my God, you know, I wouldn't know what to do. Oh my God, to call Dr. Oz or to call any of these shows would be so intimidating. And here, you just pick up the phone and you don't even know who you're calling, and you're asking for a producer. And then you realize that you had so much value through reflection, yeah. Right? Someone mirrored back to you and said, wow, Beth, you've just helped me so much. And I've, you know, spent $20,000 on a business coach, and you just dropped so much more value to me. So I just want to pause and say, wow, that's pretty fantastic. And this is how passions are discovered.
Yeah.
Right? These are the moments where when you're following your heart, when you're trusting your gut, when you're following your intuition and knowing that, okay, what's currently going on isn't working for me anymore. What am I interested in? How am I spending my time? Well, I'm cooking chickens for my kids, and I've got one that's gluten-free. And so I have to invent all these recipes. And you brought in your background from your hippie parents and soaking cashews. And that's what entrepreneurship is all about.
Oh, absolutely.
And you were probably lucky enough to have parents who were business owners so that you didn't have that whole intimidation or this attachment to the corporate security blanket. You saw people who are going out there and doing it. So I just wanted to pause and reflect, because sometimes we really don't see the magic and the mystery in our own journeys. And I always say to people, your entrepreneurial journey is the culmination of your entire life experience. And you just demonstrated that in the story that you told. So I didn't want that to slip by unnoticed.
I appreciate that so much. Yeah, I grew up listening to my dad had a cell phone in 1983. Because my dad's one of those guys, like, whoever dies the most always kind of wins.
Right, exactly.
And I literally grew up listening to him on the phone, enrolling people in his ideas.
Amazing.
And just, you talked about my kids a little bit earlier. Like, I've gotten that reflection from them. My son's in business school, and he's like, Mom, I didn't realize how much I learned by just listening to you while playing. Because he used to play video games right outside my office, and I didn't realize he was listening. And I don't think he did it intentionally. But he was listening. And I think that I honestly get the reflection a lot, like, wow, you did that kind of stuff. It's my friends call me Rosie because I wear rose colored glasses. Like, the idea to be intimidated by picking up the phone doesn't cross my mind because of the way I was brought up. Mm-hmm. But I want everyone listening to think about putting on their own rose colored glasses when things get scary, because to be completely, and I'm always very transparent, but like, I was doing something the other day to increase traffic. And I was in the middle of doing it, and that fear creeped in. And I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't email her, or maybe I shouldn't follow up. And I was like, stop it. Follow up. Just do it. And I have those moments a lot. So I don't want people to listening be like, oh, Beth doesn't have you. I have these moments all the time. But, you know, when I think about it and I put on these rose-colored glasses, which protect me from my own fear, then anything is possible. Because it does surprise me often how media is so intimidating or so like out there to people, where it's just about content. And if everybody realized, if you don't get anything from this conversation but this, the people in the media need you to do their job, because if they don't have content, people to interview, people to put on their shows, people to write articles about, they don't have a job. So when you can switch the power dynamic, I think it makes it a lot easier for people to like, hey, can I have a producer at the Drew Barrymore show?
Exactly. It's so amazing. And then when you thoughtfully produce that content and deliver that content, then you have a raving fan in the media who then reaches out to you. But let's not like jump ahead of all of that. Okay. So transforming exposure into profit.
Yes.
From invisible to influential is one of the terms that you shared with me when we were talking about this conversation. Tell us more about that. How do you go from invisible to influential? Because right now we're in a crowded market.
Very.
I mean, LinkedIn has a billion users.
Wow.
Right? So LinkedIn crossed the billion mark. And whether you're doing video LinkedIn or being showcased on Good Morning America, it's almost like the same thing. You still need that visibility.
I think there's two sides to it. It's standing for something different. Because when I meet with my clients or I work with my group programs, what I say often to people is like, okay, let's go deeper. Okay, that's great. But what's underneath that? That's why we have coaches. That's why you work with, I know people love you and I do too. And I know people enjoy working with me as well. But I think that's why we have coaches to help us go that deeper level. Because if you don't stand out, and if you don't stand out without calling yourself a disruptor, because that's honestly the thing that annoys me the most. Like, you're not a disruptor. You're just telling everyone you are. Instead, let's have a different point of view that actually disrupts the conversation.
Yes.
And the other side of that, to be completely honest, is you need to be fascinating. Like, that's, you need to have that X factor. I really tired of people, like, I keep saying this, but I honestly, something that I'm working on is saying everything I think versus like editing myself a little bit for a podcast. If you're not fascinating and you don't have something that's that X factor, that's something that charisma, that's something that's different about you, it's going to be harder for you.
Mm.
Like it just is. But you can manufacture that by having something real to say that nobody else is saying. And one of the reasons that I do PR a little differently, there's a beautiful women that are friends with me and that I enjoy that help hundreds of women get media for their business. What they don't do is help you get the revenue. That's why I'm a disruptor in my industry, but I don't use those terminologies. I'm just giving my audience something that no one else is telling them. And I'm standing up for you to be brave, to be discovered, to stop being the best kept secret, whatever that thing is that my marketing is saying. But what it's really about is finding that fascinating piece of you, because everybody has it, by being able to alleviate your fear so that you can show everybody mm-hmm. that you have the charisma to be fascinating.
Yeah.
I think that's a big difference. And then it's understanding that you have to go out there and actually tell people all those things that are deep down in your gut that you're afraid to tell everybody, but that you actually need to tell everybody, because that's that crux impact when you make that message out there, that you actually do make that impact you want on the people in your audience, or we can say the world.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. And you know, there's so many people out in the media who are transactional and, you know, they're in it for themselves. And you can sense that. You can feel that. And when you're showing up differently and you're really presenting your expertise in a way that is easy for people to understand, but it also makes them think differently, you become memorable, not only charismatic, but memorable. And that skill can be learned.
100%.
I mean, I'm sure you teach it.
I do.
I teach it in the marketing sense. You know, you need scroll-stopping messages on your LinkedIn. You know, you need to give people a reason.
Right.
And frequently there are people in rooms with me, especially, you know, life coaches might say something like, I help people transform from the inside out. And I'll always say, no one looks in the mirror in the morning and their head and said, oh my God, I need to transform from the inside out. No,
no.
They're saying, I need to get out of this marriage. I need to figure out how to lose this weight, or I need to figure out how to sleep through the night. No one says I need to transform from the inside out, or I need to get out of this miserable job. And so, you know, it's so important. But I want to get into the media aspect, because you said all digital media exposure, articles, podcasts, digital and TV. Tell us how you work with people and tell us the, you know, I'm going to count on you to tell us the secrets and the straight shit that no one else is going to tell us. Okay.
Yeah. The secret is making people feel something. And that's what you were alluding to a little bit too. It's like, if you can't make anybody feel, I don't care if you like me or hate me, as long as I make you feel something. You know, I love when I get hate. The DMs that are like, you're ugly, or I was told recently I look like a peanut.
What?
I was like, great, thanks. I love peanuts. Like, I made you feel something. But it's about the intentionality of where you want to be placed. If I hear somebody telling me one more time they want to be on Oprah's couch, Oprah's couch doesn't exist anymore, guys. And if you were on Oprah's couch, your life would blow up and you wouldn't have a business.
Right.
Because you're not prepared for it. I'm not prepared for it. You know, I need a couple more years to get prepared for that.
They call that the Oprah effect. There's actually a name for it.
Exactly. Or I want to be in Good Morning America. You know, I tell the story. It's not my story. It's a friend's story of her client into the candle company that went on and they couldn't fulfill orders because they were not ready. They didn't have the system to email their people and say, we're so sorry, it's late. They blew up their company and went bankrupt and there's lawsuits. It was awful. So when I don't say that to scare people. I say that to, let's be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you hear this too. I went to an article in Forbes magazine. Why? Is that going to make you money? Right. So when you look at PR, I look at two different ways. There's the credibility side of it and the revenue side of it, which I think if you concentrate on the revenue side of it, the credibility side comes. Because the reason I'm on this podcast, Deb, is because we talked about it. We have similar audiences. If you had all corporate audience, I wouldn't be here because those are not my people. So when you go onto media and you intentionally find the places that your people are already listening, watching, and reading, then you know you can find your other ideal clients. So it's really focusing on the intentionality of where they are and then what they actually need to hear. And that's not it. It's what they actually need to feel.
Ooh, so how do you go from the hearing to the feeling? Is that something subtle that you coach on, or is that some people have it and some people don't?
It is, and everyone has their own style. When you listen back to this, and everyone that's listening now, I've talked directly to your audience 3 or 4 times already. Mm-hmm. And I've done that intentionally, depending on where, what I'm selling at that point or what I'm focused on at that point, is how my conversation will go. You know, we can like pull back the curtain. So my lead magnet right now is how to make 10K from your next podcast interview. So if you realize I'm talking a lot about speaking and telling your message and having intention and making people feel, as we have more of the conversation, I'm going to lead it towards podcasting and what you need to do on podcasting, so that when my lead magnet conversation comes up at the end of where they can find me, it makes sense. And it's unconsciously, I'm breadcrumbing.
Yes.
You're seeding. I'm seeding. Thank you. I'm seeding. I'm getting that. So I would say if you go into an interview and you don't have a plan, it's like getting behind the wheel of a car and not knowing how to drive. Because we can have a conversation about me for an hour. Great. But we can have a conversation about me and my business for an hour. Let's make some money.
Yes.
Because right, I'm not a hobbyist, and I know you're not either. And I don't think anybody listening to this is. We have actual real businesses that we're trying to create wealth from so that we can, you know, for me, honestly, it's the pay for college. Mm-hmm. Every year I want to be able to pay for college and cash for my 2 kids. And that's my why. That's the reason I'm doing it. And I'm incorporating that in the conversation. I say it all the time because I want that intention to not only be me, but people reflect that back to me. You know, I have a planning class coming up and a friend of mine signed up and she was like, hey, are you going to talk about how you paid for college? Like, I paid for college. Like, let's all pay for college.
Yeah. Let's all pay for college. Yeah. Or the beach house that I'm going to retire in by the water. Yeah. You
know? I love that.
Okay. So this is great. So, you know, what I'm getting from this conversation is, you know, being intentional about what you want to get out of your media exposure. If you're looking at major publications, it's like, why? It might be more useful for you to be a podcast guest on someone's show who has your ideal client audience and offers something in an adjacent category like Beth and I.
Right.
But also making sure that you are making the best use of that time and that airspace by dropping seeds on how you work with people and what your offers are, so people know how to engage you and how to work with you. See, Beth and I are experts at this.
Well, because I said group program and you smiled a little bit. I'm like, she's got it.
I did. I know. I'm like, she's dropping seeds, girlfriend. She's dropping seeds. And that's what we do. You drop seeds so that people know how to work with you.
That's what you have to do.
So let's just say that, and I love this conversation because there's another podcast interview I did with Danielle Mendoza about how to write your book. And I met Danielle in another women entrepreneurs group. And she talked about intentionality before you write your book. You know, are you going for an Amazon bestseller, New York Times bestseller, a Wall Street Journal bestseller? You know, understanding what you're going for before you even start writing the book. So getting media exposure, it's a crowded market. There's gazillions of coaches and consultants out there that look and sound just like you. Having a personality and something that you stand for. And also, I think the words you use, like I always try to do a paradigm shift. You know, there's always something that people believe to be true, but it's really, if you flipped it over and looked at it from the other side, there's something even more important that you would see. You know, so my example is always pricing. You know, I said in a conversation a few weeks ago, no one's purchasing your self-worth. So like, get that off the table, right?
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's not about you at all. It's about your return on advantage, not your return on investment. So that's a term that I've coined. We've had it trademarked. Yeah. So how important are those types of things as you're out there in the media, as you're dropping content, whether it's long form on LinkedIn, you're dropping videos on Instagram, or you're getting picked up by a reporter because you responded to a query from Help a Reporter Out. What are the tips? Give us your 3 most powerful tips for digital media exposure.
Well, the first one, and you actually opened it up for me, is having that signature tagline, right? So you mentioned the fame formula. Anyone who's listening, who's interested in getting digital famous or getting out there, is going to be like, what's the fame formula? So I want you to really think about, what's that tagline you can use? What is that message that your audience needs to hear? You know, if I'm in the middle of a launch, you know, I'm going to be talking about being brave, because being brave is going to get you to the place of making those decisions. And one of those decisions is working with me and making that kind of investment. Mm-hmm. So it's that intention and knowing what you're selling and how you're going to talk about it and how your people need to hear about it. Because a lot of my people might not want to be famous, but when I talk about visibility and increased traffic and how an increase in traffic is going to bring you more money and more revenue, then people listen up. But what they're actually listening for on a podcast or actually in any article or digital platform is like, do I like you? So I want you to think about that signature course name, that signature title, that digital tagline, understanding how you're going to make your people feel, and then expressing your personality so people like you. Because Deb, as you always say, people don't buy your programs, they buy you. Mm. You know, they buy your time and your time to work with you. It's not actually about the platform that you're on, because if you can leverage, because you're going to see, I'm going to put this video everywhere. I already posted this morning that we were recording this video. It's about what you do with the media afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not sharing it once on your story. It's even not sharing it once on your feed. It's going live with that person, which we talked about also when this comes out. We'll go live that morning on our Instagram. It's writing a blog post about the experience. I'm probably going to write about how you gave that reflection where I think it's like, whatever, I made the phone call. You're like, no, Beth, that's an amazing thing that you did that you take for granted.
Yeah.
So I'm going to write a blog post about that. Maybe I'll do a YouTube video about that and about being on. And then I'm going to share all of that again a month after it comes out.
Right.
And then I'm going to share it, you know, throughout the year. It's about the leverage piece of it. It's about how you're going to use it afterward. I'm going to send this audio to my social media team and my assistant, and they're going to cut it up and make more content. It's not about just having that article in Forbes so you can put it on your website. It's what you do with it afterwards to create revenue and leverage for your business.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. So we're always so bored with ourselves, right? So we create something, we move on. It's like, okay, let's create something else. And we don't leverage the assets, because these are assets and they have a return. These are video assets, audio assets, content assets. And your ideas, I love being able to watch you in action, because I operate similarly. In that if I have this hit, that would be a great post. You know, I'll write it down on a post-it note, a piece of paper, and then it'll go up on LinkedIn with a headline on it. You know, so whatever your outlet is, I think consistency and not being afraid to make the phone call, not being afraid to post the article or go for some media exposure. So that's what I want to talk about. I think we'd be doing people a disservice if we didn't talk about how to get major media exposure. So is there a secret to getting a reporter to write a story about you? Or is there a trick to getting to pitching someone or to getting on the Drew Barrymore show? So Drew Barrymore is not Oprah, not yet, although Oprah was on Drew Barrymore recently because I follow Drew. You know, what do we need to think about? How do we need to prepare for that, aside from having enough product and
right? Right. The other side of it is relationships. It's creating a community of friends, colleagues, and journalists. Everybody who's listening right now has a friend that's been on a different podcast that you want to be on. Why are you not asking your friend for an intro? Like, that's the start of the relationship with journalists. You want to be in a big publication? Amazing. Figure out who you want to write about you. Because, right, the I want to be in Fast Company is this big. But I want to be in Fast Company and I want so-and-so to write my article. Or I want to be in Business Insider and I want Alex York to write about it. Alex writes a lot about like how I went from zero to seven figures kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's my story. I want Alex to write about that. And then forging a relationship with Alex. I often say to my clients, journalists know why you're saying hi. It's not a secret. So get over yourself that high school's never ended. And there's just one big clique. It's called media. But you're allowed in this clique. So follow the people who you want to cover you. That means following them on social media, on X, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, commenting on their posts with heart. Not like, that's cool, but an actual intentional deep thought, because they understand that there's a million people to cover And if you have a common place to come from, you know, like she has dogs, I have dogs. That's great. But let's go a little bit deeper. And then really following them, DMing them, sending them an email. All that stuff is open. It's like, I call it open season. But open season is, you know, every other time during the year. Like if you're thinking about doing something for spring, you better start thinking about it in January. Mm-hmm. Because that's when the planning is happening for TV, especially for magazines. It's also important to use your network. We're in a couple different networking groups that have people who do that kind of coverage in them. So it's twofold, creating relationships. And the other side of that is asking everybody for help. And I'm going to add a third one, is telling everyone what your intentions are. I told people for 8 months that I was going to be in the Drew Barrymore show. When she came out, I told everybody that I knew in and out of the media, I'm going to be on Drew Barrymore. I'm going to be. Guess what? I got a phone call from a friend of mine who was a producer there. Hey, I need you to come in next Tuesday. Of course. I didn't even ask what we were doing. Sure, I'll be there. But that's honestly how it happened. I know I'm supposed to have the contact and email them. You know what? Told my friend what I wanted to have happen. He saw an opportunity for me and called me. That's the way a lot of my media has happened, because over the last 20 years, I've cultivated a relationship with them. So if you're listening, take out a piece of paper and I want you to write down 5 places you want to appear on. Maybe it's the Life After Corporate podcast. Maybe it's my podcast. Maybe it's your best friend podcast. Just write that intentionally, too high, too low, and then one of your favorite placements. And then start intentionally following them, sending them messages, how much you like their content, what you thought of when you read, heard, listened to their content, and then how you can contribute to their audience. Because I get pitched every day for my podcast that hasn't even recorded since last May, which I just think is bad, funny and bad, because that means that the people sending me pitches are not actually paying attention to what's going on in my business. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a number. But if you're like, I want to be on Beth's podcast, great. Go follow me on every platform. Start sending me comments when I put out my podcast. Start sending me information about what you do. Like, hey, Beth, I really like the part you talked about being fascinating. When I work with my branding clients, A, B, and C.
Right.
That was instead of like, this is me, because I don't really care about the me. I care about how you are going to affect my audience.
That is golden. So everyone, I hope you did take notes there. It was golden nuggets from Beth, who really knows the ins and outs of media exposure. Beth, how do you work with people? And if someone was really inspired by this conversation and they want to learn more about how to work with you, what's the step-by-step process? How does that happen?
I would say go to Instagram and DM me. Like, let's have a conversation about it. I work consulting, meeting one-on-one with my clients. I also have group programs and I have a couple other, you know, little offers. But let's have a conversation. Let's see if we're a fit, because I'm so happy you want media. I'm so happy you want to come into my world. But let's make sure you like me enough to hang out with me for 6 months or a year. Right? Let's make sure that we're aligned. I'm not one of those, I know you can tell, like, I'm not one of those, like, just come on, everyone's welcome. If I don't think that I can actually work with you, I'm not going to. So let's have a conversation to make sure that I'm the kind of person that you want to work with.
Yeah.
And that you think can really be in your corner. I know I'm kind of everyone's cup of tea, but, you know, I'm very Jersey. You know, Deb, we did talk about the Jersey part.
I was going to say she's a Jersey girl.
I'm a Jersey girl. So I kind of talk about it the way it is, but I like to work with people who know they have something to say. They just don't know how to get it out there in the right way. And they understand that if they can follow a process, a system, because the Fame Formula is a system that we institute into your business so that you can gain consistent media and have the bandwidth and the knowledge to leverage it. I work very hands-on with my people. I call it very high touch, very small group program.
Yeah, that's how I love to operate as well. So we're very aligned on that score as well.
Yeah.
Beth Neidig, thank you so much. We will drop your Instagram handle in the show notes, but for everyone else's benefit, let's voice it here. How do they find you on IG?
At Beth Neidig.
At Beth Neidig, and that's NYDICK, Beth Neidig. And Beth, thank you so much. It was such a fun interview and really enjoyed spending this time with you. Catch you next time on Life After Corporate, my friend. Until then, make your list of your top 5 media outlets. Get ready to follow those leaders and showcase what you can do for them. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.